You reach for the top olive oils and invest in the best pans. But in the kitchen, how well do you care for your greatest tool, your hands? When mine take a beating cooking and cleaning, which is often, I use Bag Balm to work its wonders on my poor, distressed skin. Created 125 years ago on a Vermont dairy farm, their soaps smell great and clean hands without stripping moisture, and their fast-absorbing lotion means I can quickly get back to cooking. Treat your hardworking hands to Bag Balm, every chef's best friend. Use code FOOD52 for 20% off your order on bagbalm.com. Good through 2024.
At Total Wine & More, find the best gifts for everyone on your list, whether it's a Cabernet for sis or a single barrel bourbon that dad will love. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21. Where can you find the best gifts at great low prices that everyone will love? At Total Wine & More, of course, with so many great bottles to choose from. Find something for everyone on your list, whether it's a Cabernet for your sis, sparkling wine for a coworker, or a single barrel bourbon for dad. And if you need any help, just ask one of their friendly guides for advice. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21.
You know, this recipe is inspired by my great-grandmother, my Sicilian great-grandmother, and she used to make bread every day. Hi, this is Play Me a Recipe. I'm Anthony Falco, and I'm coming to you from my kitchen in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Today, we're going to be making my onion and olive bread recipe, and it's linked to the show notes, and it's on food52.com. But first, we're going to gather some ingredients for this very simple, nostalgic, light and airy, and versatile onion and olive bread. We're going to be doing everything alongside of each other, so feel free to skip and pause or jump back and forth. Time is irrelevant here. Yeah, use the podcast chapters if you need a little more time getting started. You know, this recipe is inspired by my great-grandmother, my Sicilian great-grandmother, and she used to make bread every day. She never measured anything. She did everything by hand. And she made great stuff. So I think there's a lot of like, why do you do this? And what about this percentage and this and that? And this, you could really dive into that stuff, or you could just make bread every day. And if you just do it every day, you're going to be great. She was great. She's my inspiration. Okay, so to make our onion and olive bread, we're first going to go through the ingredients that we need to make the dough. We're going to need 1,000 grams of flour. That's going to be a blend. This is my favorite blend of a high protein, high performer juice dough flour. You can substitute that with a high protein bread flour. And then I'm also going to be mixing in about 20% freshly milled Glacier Peak stone milled flour from Karen Springs. You can order it directly from their website. And it's really fantastic. This one is pretty high protein, 13.5%. It is the Yacora Rojo varietal, which is a heritage breed. And it's sifted a little bit, and it's really just quite fantastic. If you can't get something like that, any other kind of whole grain or stone milled flour you can find locally would be great. The dough is really the main thing here. And so the flour is very important. If you can get something local like that, that's nice. You can also order these from the website. Otherwise, just don't use bleached or bromated flour. That's just, you know, no bueno. We're gonna need 720 grams of water, cool, maybe 65 degrees Fahrenheit, we'll say, 65 to 69. We're gonna use 100 grams of sourdough starter. If you do not have a sourdough starter, you can use the commercial yeast pre-ferment, which I will get to after listing the rest of the dough ingredients. You will need 60 grams of extra virgin olive oil. I like California olive oil. I like Sicilian olive oil, but just make sure it's extra virgin and it's fresh. We're gonna be using 30 grams of sea salt. It's gonna be fine sea salt. Again, Sicilian sea salt's very nice. There's California sea salt that's good. You can use kosher salt. If you don't have sea salt, just please do not use iodized table salt. It will just not really work well in this recipe. For the pre-ferment, if you don't have a sourdough starter, you will need 80 grams of high protein flour, 70 grams of water, and 0.5 grams of instant yeast. And for the baker's percentages, if you'd like to scale this recipe, they are 100% flour, 72% water, 10% starter, 6% olive oil, and 3% salt. For the toppings, we're going to be using some Tagliashka olives. We're going to be using about 44 grams of Tagliashka olives. It's about 23 olives. And those are from Northern Italy. They're beautiful olives. They come usually packed in oil. And I'm also going to be using some Castelvetrano olives, about 45 grams of those. So about 8. They're a little larger. And those are from Southern Italy. Those are from Sicily. You know, if you have some other olives that you like, go ahead and throw those in there. You know, follow your olive dreams, whatever you want to do. We're also going to be using some thinly sliced red onion, about a quarter. It's about 45 grams. You're going to need a little extra virgin olive oil for the pans. All right, for our onion and olive bread, this is the equipment you're going to need. You're going to need 2 medium-sized mixing bowls. I've got a 12-quart Cambro container. You could use a large, flat Tupperware container if you don't have that. You're going to need a couple containers for measuring, a digital scale, cutting board and knife for cutting the onions and the olives, a cooling rack for when the bread comes out of the oven and we pop it out of the pan. We're going to need an offset spatula to pop it out. I'm going to be using 12-inch deep dish pizza pans. They have metal lids and they're stackable. I'm going to be using 3 of those for this recipe. If you don't have pizza pans, cast iron skillet will work, steel pan that could go in the oven, square pan, half sheet. Ideally, you want something of a thicker gauge, aluminum or steel. Detroit style pans are great for this. Cake pans, I guess you could use, pretty flexible. But the nonstick is nice, even though we're going to be putting a lot of olive oil in there to be able to pop it out. But the pan does make a difference in the heat transfer and how you get that really nice crusty kind of golden brown bottom that we're going to be looking for. I believe that's all the equipment we're going to need. First thing we're going to do here for our onion and olive bread is we are going to feed our sourdough starter. I've got my digital scale out. And I've got a small plastic container. If you want to use a glass bowl, you can, but any kind of plastic container with number 5 on it, it should be perfectly fine to use. Take out a spoon here and portion out 50 grams of my sourdough starter. I keep it in the fridge when I'm not using it. If you're going to be baking on a regular basis, I usually feed mine twice a day. But since I haven't baked in a few days, I'm just taking it out of the fridge and I'm going to feed it with some AP flour. I'm using King Arthur all-purpose flour. You could use the high-protein bread flour if you want, you know, whatever you want to use. We're feeding this starter 1:1:1, so it's going to be 50 grams of starter that I pulled out of the fridge from my sleepy starter. And then I could add 50 grams of my flour, and now I'm going to add 50 grams of some room temperature water, 50 grams, and then I'm going to take a spoon and I'm just going to mix it all together until it's thoroughly combined, put the lid on it, and let it rise for about 2 to 3 hours. So this is going to give us about 150 grams, so we'll have a little left over that we can either put back in the fridge or feed again if we want to make some more dough later on. And if you are going to be using the commercial pre-ferment sourdough substitute, what you want to do is measure out 80 grams of flour, 70 grams of water, and 0.5 grams of instant yeast. You want to just add the instant yeast to the water, dissolve it, then add your flour, mix it thoroughly. It's going to have like a thicker pancake batter kind of consistency. Again, put a lid on that and should start to bubble in 2 to 3 hours. And it will be ready to go into the rest of our recipe. We are going to get started with our first dough mix. It's been 3 hours. And our starter, after being fed, has risen a little bit. Yeah, a lot of bit. We're going to go ahead and start the measuring of all of our ingredients. The first thing we're going to do is measure our flour out, and it's 1,000 grams, 800 Justo High Performer, unbleached flour, high protein, and 20% Karen Springs Glacier Peak Yacora Rojo, stone milled. Again, play with different mixes. The key to this recipe, though, is you do want something pretty strong because you want to be able to have those big bubbles build up and be able to hold when it gets baked in the oven so it doesn't collapse. So I've got my digital scale and I've got two mixing bowls. I'm going to put one mixing bowl on the scale and I'm going to hit tear to zero. And I'm going to pour my flour in. I'm going to start with the Justo High Performer. So there we go, exactly 800 of the Justo High Performer. I'm now going to go up to 1,000 with my Karen Springs. So, all right, we've got our 1,000 grams of flour. It's a blend of 80% Justo High Performer and 20% Karen Springs. Now we're going to put our salt in, so I'm going to hit tear again. I've got some fine sea salt. We're going to go in here, 30 grams. So I'm just going to take my, you know, clean washed hands, and I'm just going to mix together the salt and the flour. I know this recipe may seem kind of complicated, but I'm trying to make it as streamlined as possible. Okay, so now we're going to start weighing out our wets. We've got in one bowl, we've got flour and salt mixed together. Now I've got another bowl. I've hit zero on the scale. It is teared out. And now I'm going to pour some water. I've got a glass container of water that I keep at room temperature for just such occasions. And there we go, 720. Oh, 721. I'm going to let that slide, Tony. It's going to be cool. So 720 grams, also known as 720 milliliters. Guys, metric system, amazing. Okay, so now we are going to add our starter, and it's going to be 100 grams. Okay, so I'm putting my starter into the water directly. I've zeroed my scale out again. It's a couple spoonfuls. There we go. That is, there you go, 103. All right, it's fine. It's good enough for me. That's going to work for me. The starter is kind of floating. The top, that's a good sign. Lets you know that there's activity in there, that the yeast and the bacteria are alive and they're doing their thing. They're converting starch chains, sugars, CO2, ethanol, making all the magic happen. And so before we mix, I'm going to measure my olive oil. Even though we're not going to add the olive oil until middle of the first mix, I'm going to measure it out now so I have it ready. Olive oil, let's go. 60 grams. And I'm using some beautiful Sicilian olive oil. All right, here we go. It's mixing time, first mix. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just break up this starter that's floating in my water by hand. And just break it up until it's a kind of cloudy, milky consistency. You're either using your sourdough starter or the commercial pre-ferment that was fed 3 hours earlier, left at room temperature to start to bubble. If you would like to use a mixer and not mix by hand, you can definitely do that. What you're gonna do is kind of the reverse of what we're gonna do. You're gonna add the wets into the bowl of your mixer, and then you are going to add the dries on top, and then you will just drizzle the olive oil in halfway through once the dough has initially come together and combined. But since we're hand mixing here, I am hand mixing here, we are going to be doing the opposite of that. We're going to do it kind of like pasta method. Okay, we are mixing. It's wet. This dough is very wet. It's pretty high hydration. So I'm just moving my dough around. I'm trying to pick up all that dry, mix it with the wet until it comes together. And when it just comes together as a dough is when I'm going to add my olive oil. So I'm waiting for that moment. It went from flour and water to one new thing, dough. We have dough. So now I'm going to add my oil. I'm just going to dump it right in there, and then just I'm going to very carefully kind of squish it in. Just very carefully, I'm just squishing it, and it's coming together now to get that olive oil. Now moving the whole mass around the bowl. And we're not really looking to like go crazy here and mix it really hard for this first mix. We really just want to combine it. I don't want to see like pockets of olive oil or flour or water. I want it to all come together and be like a dough. So I'm kind of squishing it. I'm seeing that olive oil get incorporated in there. Now I'm kind of lifting it, folding it in on itself. I've got one hand turning the bowl, the other hand is lifting up and slapping it back down. And as soon as I see that it's fully incorporated, but still very shaggy, not very pretty, I'm going to stop and I'm going to put a cover over this bowl and we're going to rest it for 30 minutes. Before we cover it, we can use that dough scraper to kind of scrape the edges of the bowl and make sure it's all the flours incorporated in there. All the dough, I mean, it's fully. So I'm just scraping around the outside and kind of holding it onto itself. Again, very sticky, but that's okay. You're going to see this dough really come together over time with all of the stretch and folds that we're going to be doing later. But this is the first mix, and the first mix is done. I'm going to wash my hands, and we'll see you back in 30 minutes. All right, we are back with Play Me a Recipe, and we are doing the Sicilian Grandma Onion and Olive Bread. Now we have done our first mix, we did a rest, did a second mix, transferred the dough into an oiled container. We've let it rest for about 30 minutes, and we're going to do our first stretch and fold. So what I'm going to do is just put a little bit of water on my hands, describe to you what's happening here. The dough is kind of flattened out. Again, still nothing super pretty to look at. But we're going to do our first stretch and fold. So what we're going to do is go into the middle on the sides, tuck our hands under the middle, lift up the middle, and then just kind of fold it over itself. So lift up, it's going to come together, and I'm just going to let it fold over itself. Now I'm going to turn the container once. I'm going to turn it, and then I'm going to lift it up, and I'm going to do the same thing. A little water on your hands is going to be very helpful because the dough, again, is still very sticky. And that's it. It's just going to be lift up, let it fold onto itself, let it back down, turn, lift up, let it fold onto itself, and put it back down. And then we're going to let it sit again for another 30 minutes. And we're going to do that every 30 minutes for 3 hours. And it's been 3 hours of stretch and folds with a stretch and fold every 30 minutes, and I'm going to do the very last one. So looking at the dough now, it's very smooth. From the beginning, it was really shaggy and kind of ugly looking, and now it's a very nice, smooth consistency. It's flattened out a bit. I'm going to do the last stretch and fold. Just going to get under here and lift it up. Yes, it's beautiful. It's very... looks really nice. Just gonna give it the last stretch and fold, and it's very silky smooth, and all of those stretch and folds over the course of the 3 hours have really developed a really nice gluten network, which in the end of this product, when we bake it tomorrow, should give us a really nice honeycomb crumb structure, which is really what we're going for here. So that's our last stretch and fold. I'm going to let it just sit for 30 minutes, and we're going to take it out, and it's going to get shaped onto the bench, and it's going to rest for one more time before we divide and ball it and put it into our pans. Okay, our dough has rested for 30 minutes, and I'm going to just lightly flour the surface of my wooden booze block, which is what I use to shape and then divide my dough. I'm going to take the ball out and take the entire surface, this whole thing, and I'm going to put it here, and I'm going to use my bench scraper, and I'm just going to shape this into a ball. I'm going to use a little flour on the surface and then a little flour on top, and I'm just going to kind of form it into a nice ball by kind of picking it up and then folding it onto itself to create a nice smooth surface, nice shaped ball. Any kind of, you know, bread, if you look at some videos on how to shape it, you're just taking the knife, going under around the whole circumference of the circle, tucking it under itself to create a really nice, beautiful ball. And add just a little bit of sprinkling of flour on the surface. and rub it in, and to cover it with a kitchen towel, and it's going to rest for 30 minutes. So our dough has rested on the bench for 30 minutes. It's kind of flattened out a little bit, and I'm now going to get my scale. Put a little bit of flour on the scale. So the dough is very sticky still, even though it's nice and smoothed out. And then I've got my olive oil, and I'm gonna oil up my three pans. I'm gonna be pretty liberal with the oil, because I don't want the doughs to stick in the pans, and olive oil is delicious. And if you're using non-stick pans, shouldn't be so much of a problem, depending on what kind of cast iron. I mean, if it's well seasoned, it shouldn't stick too much. But, you know, you want to make sure the olive oil is coating the whole pan. And I'm going to cut this roughly into three pieces. That should give me about 630 gram balls each. Again, it's very sticky, so when I cut it, it's going to kind of want to stick to its little neighbor, so I've got to cut it a couple times. All right, so we got three balls that are all about 630 grams. That's probably the minimum you want for a 12 inch. I'm going to form it into a ball now by finding the smooth side, and then I'm going to stitch together the bottom and make a very nice smooth round ball by stitching the bottom together. Putting it in the middle of our 12 inch pan. It's right there in the oiled pan. And now I'm just going to take a little bit of the oil from that's in the pan and touch the top, because I'm going to put the lid on. And at this point, the ball is about as high as the pan. So when I put the lid on, it's going to touch. So I'm just putting a little oil so it doesn't stick. And then I'm going to now put the lid on all of these. And now they've got to relax. You just really want it to, I mean, it's one kind of big ball in the center of the dough. And we really want it to like relax and flatten out. And that's just going to, it's going to need some time for that to happen. And so I'm just going to stack these pans and let them relax with the dough in the middle of the pan. The next step is we're going to press out the dough and put our onions and olives in the surface for the overnight rise. It's been a little over an hour since we balled and portioned the doughs into our pans. We've got our doughs, and they have relaxed. They're chilled out. They've laid down a little flat. What am I gonna do here is get my fingers underneath and just kind of, first thing I'm gonna do is just get a little oil on my fingers. I'm gonna take the dough and just kind of lift it up and just let it hang, like gravity stretch it out a little bit. I'm gonna turn it, lift it up, let it hang. And it's already kind of stretched out almost to the edge. Lift it up, let it hang. And now I'm gonna start pressing it out. And if it doesn't press all the way to the edge, that's cool. It may need to relax a little more. So I've got it almost to the edge. Now I'm using my fingertips and I'm just dimpling down, pressing the dough with well-trimmed fingernails. This is important. So just pressing, dimpling, creating like a bunch of little craters in there. And the oil is getting into the crater. There's a lot of oil. This is a high oil operation here. And what I'm going to do now is I have my onions, which I have sliced thinly, you know, on the radius of the onion, Lyonnaise style, you could say. But, you know, you can chop them however you want. And I'm starting to put those into my dough, and I'm just going to put them on top and press in. I'm going to cover this dough with onions. I'm using red onions. I've sliced them with a sharp knife. And I'm just kind of placing it where I want and then pressing it into the dough. Almost covered with onions. Remember, you need to leave some room for your olives. So now I'm going to take my Tagliatelle olives and I'm going to start kind of putting them in between onions. You don't want to have wall-to-wall toppings. You need some room in between for the dough to rise up around it. But, you know, fill it up. There we go. Okay, now I'm going to get my Castle Vetrano's. It's going to give us some nice visual differences here. So these are nice and bright green, and my Tagliascas are like a dark brown, amber kind of color. So now I'm just using the top of my hand, and I'm just squishing down all of my onions and olives into the dough, and that's it. Now it just rises overnight. I'm going to put my lid on. I'm going to say goodnight, and this dough is going to rise overnight. So in the morning, I'm going to check on it, and depending on the temperature of your room, the temperature of the room that I'm going to be using is just about 70. So, you know, for 7 hour rise, it's going to be nice. It's probably going to double in size, and the dough is kind of going to rise up around the toppings, but we're just going to check on it in the morning. We'll see how it goes. If it's really risen a lot, then, you know, we're ready to bake. And at that point, we can either put it in the fridge if we're not ready at that time, or just bake it off. If it's still just chilling, we can bring it out into a warmer area and kind of speed things up. It's been about 18 hours since our initial mix, and I have just checked on my onion and olive bread, and it has doubled in size. It's fully risen up in the pan. So I'm ready to bake now. I've got my oven set to 485. I'm going to pop it in the oven. I have some stones in here, and I'm going to put it directly on those pizza stones. If you want to put it on the rack, that's fine too. But we are going in the oven now, and it's going to be 15 to 20 minutes or until it's just beautiful golden brown on top. And I'm going to check back in with you when it comes out of the oven. All right, we're back. It's been 15 minutes. Timer went off, and I'm going to open the oven. That is looking pretty nice. Golden brown on the top. The onions are getting just a little charred. Ooh, it's great. I'm pulling it out. I think that's 15 is good. I'm just going to take my offset spatula and just lift, perfectly popping out. And so there's no sticking whatsoever. It's nice. Ooh, the bottom. Bottom's looking pretty good. So I'm going to go ahead and say this one's done. And with the offset, I'm going to pop it out of the pan. Put it onto my resting rack. I'm going to let it sit there for a little bit, cool off. And it's done. That's it. This is the onion and olive bread. Simple, beautiful thing. And I hope that you enjoyed listening to this recipe on Play Me a Recipe, food52.com. And I look forward to seeing your versions of this dish. Thank you so much.